CNN's Nadia Romero has been at the debate in Nashville, Tennessee. She reckons the mute button made this an entirely different affair.
It almost seemed like the threat of the mute button was more powerful than the mute button itself. It's almost like a parent threatening that you'll have to go to bed early with no dinner. Whether or not they're actually going to do it will get you in line. And that's what we saw today on the debate stage. We saw President Donald Trump muting himself. You could see him wanting to interrupt, and then his body language would change, and he would not. And really, in that first debate, President Trump was the worst offender when it came to interrupting the moderator and Joe Biden. So this time around, we saw the mute button being used. They definitely had moments where we know that the mics were cut so that the other person could speak. And just the thought that you could be muted, that you would have that awful moment with your mouth moving and no sound, really prevented a lot of the interruptions that we could have had, that we did have in the first debate. It was a powerful move, just the threat of it. And it allowed for voters, especially undecided voters, to hear each candidate. You got to see them side by side, and you could actually hear the differences between the two of them.
Was there a clear winner today?
I think when you talk to both campaigns, they'll tell you they won, right? So that's the hard part when it comes to politics anywhere in the world. I really felt like this was a strong debate performance by Joe Biden. During the first debate, we know that President Trump was the worst offender when it came to interrupting, but he controlled that debate. He controlled the moderator. He controlled Joe Biden. He controlled the mood, the environment. He talked about whatever he wanted to talk about, regardless of the question, and he dominated on that debate stage. Now, did people like it? Was that a positive for the president? That's up to your opinion. But he was the person that took over that debate stage. During this debate, we heard Joe Biden being the maverick, being the Uncle Joe, all the familiar names that we know of the reasons why President Obama picked him as his running mate back in 2008, because he came out swinging tonight. Probably his best debate performance, even if you compare it to the Democratic presidential or the primary that the run up to this. Joe Biden was clear. He was concise. He had some good one-liners. He was able to roll out his plans and why he felt like President Barack Obama was a good leader and what he would do to continue on that path when it came to the Affordable Care Act, but making it better, for instance. And he also laid out why he felt that Donald Trump was a bad president and bad for America and the rest of the world.
Perhaps one of the revelations from this debate, for us watching here anyway, was when Donald Trump said, in essence, that he's expecting a COVID vaccine in the next 2 weeks. Tell us more.
Lisa, I would like to know more about that as well. When you talk to scientists, they tell you there's just no way that can happen. We know that we have a bunch of companies all around the world that are working on this vaccine. They are in the human trial phase, many of them. But we are so far out from this being approved through the Food and Drug Administration, which is our authority here in the U.S., from approving a vaccine. And then even once it's approved, you then have to figure out how do you get it to the American people? Do they have to pay for it? Do you have to have a prescription or a referral from a doctor? Can you go to the clinic down the street? Do you have to have a doctor's appointment? Those are all things that have yet to be figured out. Who's first? Who gets it first? Is it those older folks in our senior citizens care and nursing homes? Do they get it first? Are there people from the minority communities, black and brown communities, who were disproportionately affected by COVID-19? Are they first on the list? So this is why people look at President Donald Trump, and when he says these things, and there's just a big question mark as to having a vaccine ready and having it out being distributed to people are two very different things. There could be months in between those two things happening. That's when semantics matters. What words are you using? Are you saying the vaccine is ready, it's approved, or are you saying that people can get this vaccine? And that's the issue that you have with this administration and with scientists. The semantics are never the same.
There was a couple of lines in there, Nadia, that really stood out. And one was, I am the least racist person in the room, from Donald Trump. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. That was something that he said tonight, and he said that before, that he is the least recent racist person that he knows. His history doesn't say the same, right? When you look at he was sued by black people in a lawsuit because he refused to rent to them in some of his buildings in New York City. And when he was asked about that in 2016, he said, well, everyone was doing it, and I wasn't the only one that was sued. You know, a lot of people got sued for doing that. And so instead of saying it was the wrong thing to do, I apologize, he doubled down and said, well, everybody was discriminating against black people. So, I mean, it just wasn't me. When he was asked about the Central Park Five, five black boys that were accused of a rape in a park in New York City, they were then exonerated. Well, before they were exonerated and found now guilty, President Trump, back then just a New York State businessman, had said that they should be executed, that capital punishment, the death penalty should be used on these five teenage boys. And then when they were exonerated, he refused to apologize or take that back. So there have been so many instances of the president doing and saying racist things, even when it comes to Mexicans, saying that Mexico is sending rapists and murderers across our southern border. He has never apologized for those comments. He doubled down on those comments. So he can say that he's the least racist person in the room, and he points to the fact that he's worked on criminal justice reform that has affected disproportionately black and brown communities. He talks about how he provided funding to historically black colleges and universities. But his overall tone and rhetoric when it comes to black people, Muslims, Mexican people has been very, very racist.
Bottom line, Nadia, what did American voters get out of this?
They kind of got a chance to hear them. I mean, that's something that you think you're going to get out of any debate. But in the first debate, you just couldn't hear anyone clearly. This time you got to see them side by side, mano a mano, talking about the issues and laying out their differences. Now, this country, unfortunately, right now is so divided, more divided than I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've lived all over this country. And so there are people who will never in a million years vote for Donald Trump. And there are people who will never in a million years vote for Joe Biden. But there are swing voters, moderate Republicans, people who are moderately conservative, who voted for President Obama in 2012, and some who voted for President Trump in 2016, who may consider voting for Joe Biden. At least that's what the polling shows. There are also there's a large group of Democrats who were not enthusiastic about Hillary Clinton in 2016 and just did not vote at all. So the hope for Joe Biden is that those folks go out to the polls and will vote for him. And we are seeing record turnout in all of our states when it comes to early voting. We have more than 43 million Americans participating in early voting. That represents 20% of the total ballots cast in 2016. And we have 12 days before the election.
And that is CNN's Nadia Romero, who has been at the final presidential debate there in Nashville, Tennessee.